You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off. Racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Monday, the 21st of May. Plenty of great racing coming up on Monday, live on Racing Radio from about 1:55. You can join the guys in the studio for discussion and the commentaries on the races themselves as well, of course, but here on the podcast. My name's John Gibby, joined in the studio by Will Hayler. Hello, Will, how are you?
Hello, John. I'm very well indeed.
Good. Good to have you with us. And in a moment, we'll get your thoughts on Monday's racing. But we'll start off by taking a look at what happened on Saturday. Of course, we had the first Group 1 for older horses of the season, the Lock-In Stakes at Newbury. Some were saying this is a weak renewal of the race. They probably have a point. But Rhododendron, in the end, coming out and winning the photo finish with Lightning Spear, who was back in second.
Yeah, I don't think it looked a weak renewal beforehand. It was one of the bigger fields for a Group 1 that you would ever see outside of Royal Ascot. And I thought there were some interesting horses on paper. Ultimately, Lamato didn't perform again. Adabe, the William Haggas horse, didn't appreciate the much quicker underfoot conditions. And so the opposition kind of fell by the wayside. But I think the fifth horse, Deauville, is a decent yardstick on his day. The fourth horse, Dutch Connection, has been thereabouts at this kind of level for a long time. Lightning Spear, we know, has come very, very close to winning a Group 1 before. And so I don't think it's fair to hang the race on the fact that it was longer priced horses that perhaps occupied the first six placings.
Though, of course, the favourite came out and won it, Rhododendron. What did you think of her run?
I thought she was tough, and she obviously looked like a filly who is versatile enough to be able to drop back to this trip, but has the potential to go back over longer distances in Group 1s later this season. And, I mean, the way she's being and is going to be campaigned is very typical of Ballydoyle, particularly with the fillies. When they're four-year-olds, they don't mess about, they don't shirk a challenge. If you look at the way they campaign Minding and, of course, Found in recent years, I'm sure we're going to see something pretty similar with Rhododendron. She'll probably be, just like Founded, she'll probably be rocking up to plenty of Group 1s this year, and they'll be chucking her in because, really, her broodmare future is already assured, so you might as well get loads of prize money on board while you can.
It's shades of Minding, who you mentioned there in particular, because she's a filly who's so versatile in terms of trip. You know, you don't get many horses who can win Group 1s over a mile and over a mile and a half. I mean, I know Rhododendron hasn't won a Group 1 over a mile and a half yet, but she could.
It's possible that she could, yeah. Definitely possible that, you know, by the end of the year, they might be looking at trying something further than 10 furlongs again, perhaps looking at the Breeders' Cup or something like that for her. And she's a very smart performer. Fascinating to see which way they go next, John. Either the Queen Anne over a mile at Royal Ascot, or perhaps if Cracksman doesn't rock up for the Prince of Wales, perhaps they'll look at moving up to 10 furlongs there. So whichever way she goes, she's going to take some beating.
They talked about running Cracksman in the Coronation Cup. Now they haven't got an Able obviously out until August. Presumably they're not going to run him in both races. They are pretty close together.
Yeah, I think the plan with Cracksman is the Prince of Wales, but I don't really know. Until we see him on track, it's hard to get a handle completely, isn't it? What I'd really like more than anything else is to see Cracksman and Enable take each other on at some stage this season. I was always sceptical about it actually happening. I'd love to be proved wrong. I think they're both really high quality four-year-olds, and I'd love to see them and perhaps Rhododendron take each other on at some stage, 10 furlongs, 12 furlongs. I want to see the best horses out, and I want to see them running against each other.
whereas I would love nothing more than Cracksman and Abel to stay well away from each other, as I have backed Cracksman and Batash both to go unbeaten through the season at 150-1. So I think Enable would absolutely chew him up and spit him out. So that was the Lockinge on Saturday. It was the first group one of the season for all the horses. Nothing else particularly of note for you, Will, on Saturday?
Well, Crystal Ocean won again. Second Step continues to be a bit disappointing, doesn't he? It's you know, a couple of years ago looked like he could go on and be very smart. No, I thought the listed race, the Carnarvon Stakes, obviously the well fancied horses all blew out there. Hugo Palmer had that winner. No, I enjoyed the racing action, but I can't say it will live long in the memory beyond Rhododendron's success in the Lockinge.
Fantastic. Well, that was Saturday. We now move our attention to the future and to Monday. You've got, as usual on the podcast, two selections for us, Will. So where are we going?
I love the future, as you know. It's it's one of my very favourite places.
It's where all the winners are.
Yeah. I mean, the feature contest is at Windsor. It's the Leisure Stakes, or as our American cousins would perhaps say, the Leisure Stakes.
The Leisure Derby.
It's an interesting little race, this. The Tin Man's out in action. It's the 7:45 at Windsor tomorrow. And he won this race a couple of years ago. But then last year he needed his first run back. So, I know the Fanshawe horses are running okay. He's had a few seconds and thirds, a bit lacking in winners, but most of them are running up to form. The interesting angle for me is this Gifted Master. You'll remember Gifted Master won the that big sprint handicap at the Guineas meeting, won it off a mark of 109. Hugo Palmer got pretty emotional afterwards and sort of said this was one of my very first horses, and you know, he's been with me, he's been a real high class performer in during my 4 years as a trainer.
It's part of the James Doyle sort of week of majesty, wasn't it, if I remember correctly.
Although James Doyle is riding Dubai for Charlie Appleby tomorrow, so Ryan Moore gets on Gifted Master. It's an interesting one. If Gifted Master gets an uncontested lead, I think he's going to be very hard to peg back, even though he's giving £3 away to good horses. You know, giving £3 away to the Tin Man will require very good performance. But will he get taken on? Lancelot de Lac sometimes likes to go from the front. You know, surely if Lancelot de Lac tries to take on Gifted Master, it's not going to work out well for either of them. So I'm hoping that Connections of Lancelot de Lac decide to let Gifted Master go on and then try and pick him off, because I don't think they will. I think if Gifted Master gets an uncontested lead, he's going to be extremely hard to rein back in with Ryan Moore on board. So I'm going for Gifted Master to give that weight away. He's got race fitness on his side. He's got the best jockey in the world on board. He's a horse who I've always thought was a pretty straightforward performer. If you give him a fairly easy time in front, he probably won't let you down. And I think, you know, with lots of ticks in his boxes and the Tin Man perhaps being wound up for targets later this season, the Gifted Master would have to be my choice.
Gifted Master and the Leisure Stakes, then the 7:45 tomorrow at Windsor. And what about the other selection?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as we speak, I haven't got prices for most of the other races tomorrow, so there's always the danger that I might be nominating something that's odds on, which I don't like doing. I do think the Establishment has got a very obvious chance in the 7:30 at Leicester. This is a horse trained by Dave Evans. He's up against representatives from a lot more fashionable yards. We've got Gosdens and Dunlops and Charlie Hillses and Roger Varians and Cy Binsaroz all taking him on. And your eye wouldn't usually be drawn to a horse trained by Dave Evans in that kind of company. But the Establishment ran a massive race at Nottingham on his last start, 8 days ago. Bumped into one of Owen Burrows's that looked an absolute machine, Tab Deed. Really good looking horse. I think they're thinking of Royal Ascot for Tab Deed. Unbeaten and won very impressively. Owen Burrows' team, incidentally, going very nicely. So no disgrace at all to go down all guns blazing to an Owen Burrows horse. The pair of them finished 8 lengths ahead of the rest of the field. I really like the way the Establishment kept on scrapping, even when it became apparent he was not going to prove a match for Tab Deed. That was over 6 furlongs. The Establishment goes up to 7 furlongs here. And I think with Adam Kirby on board, he is I think he's a really solid horse, and unless one of these sexy Gosden or Dunlop or Charlie Hill's horses is quite above average, I think they're going to have to go to get the better of the establishment. So hopefully the less fashionable nature of his stable will be factored into the price, and we'll be able to get a, you know, some fair odds about the establishment winning.
The establishment then for Will in that 7:30 at Leicester on Monday evening. Plenty of great racing to come from around the country. Fat and Jumps on Racing Radio through the afternoon and through the evening. Join us from 1:55 online or on the William Hill app. Another podcast tomorrow. Join us then. Will, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.